In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. This is the first thing in the Bible that it says God's people, in the New Testament, that it says God's people are. The first thing they're told to do is in Matthew 4 and verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then in chapter 5, he gives two things that believers are in the world. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Those are two things. If we were to fulfill those two things, we would be perfect Christians, being the salt of the earth, being the light of the world. But I want you to notice the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses his savor, that's his strength. They salt fish there, and they use it two or three or four times, and then they throw it away because it's lost its saltiness. If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How can you restore that? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden down under the foot of men. Throw it out, put it into the paths, and walk on it. That word cast out, that I want to look at that a little bit, but I want to look at it not in relationship to us, but in relationship to Satan. The Bible says much about the history of Satan and him being cast out. Paul used the word in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Paul said he beat his body. He brought his body under subjection lest he be a cast away. That's the same idea as the salt of the earth. Lest I become useless. Lest I become ineffective in my ministry. He kept his body under subjection so that he would continue in the ministry that the Lord had given to him. So we want to look in Genesis again, in Genesis chapter number 3. I hope you don't get weary of me using this verse. I've been looking at it a lot lately, the last month. In seeing the greater purpose of Christ coming into the world was to die, to defeat Satan and to crush him and to destroy him and to destroy sin. And that's the purpose of God that's declared in Genesis 3 and verse 15. God is talking to Satan here, the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now that's literally, physically true of a snake. Women, generally speaking, are afraid of snakes. Brother Clyde, I was talking today about some of our experiences in the past of how we were at a place one time and one of the ladies there came up in the yard where we were and they saw a snake and she just about panicked. And because she saw a little snake along the ground. So you're looking at a serpent here in a literal sense who is a metaphor of Satan himself. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed, the seed of Satan, and they start with Cain. Every child born in Adam's race actually is a seed of Satan. We're all children of wrath in Ephesians chapter 2 to begin with, and we're really children of the devil. You read that in Matthew chapter number 13. There's only children of God and children of the devil there. The wheat and the tares are said to be children of God and children of the devil. So, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, this word seed there, I understand, is singular. The word it is singular. And that seed, of course, is Christ. He's the seed of the woman. He's the only seed of the woman. Every one of us are born of the seed of men and women, but here was one who was virgin conceived, and his humanity came just from the seed of the woman only, no man involved in his birth. It, that's singular, and it's masculine, and it refers to Christ, shall bruise his head, and thou shalt, thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the picture here is that Christ is going to, in the sense of the metaphor, he's going to put his heel on the head of the serpent, and he's going to crush the head of the serpent, and he's going to destroy it, and of course at the same time the serpent will take a little bite out of his heel. Now this is the purpose of God in the fall of man. He's first dealing with sin where it originated, Satan himself. And the purpose of Christ coming into the world, though we look at it as dying for our sins, and that's most certainly true, because the Bible is a book that's written to men, not to angels, but to men. And though that's true, it's actually, shall I say, a byproduct of the supreme purpose of Christ coming into the world. Hebrews 9:26 makes it so clear that he appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin. Just one little word, sin. That's a defilement that entered in not only into the universe with the fall of Satan, but it entered into the world, but from Satan through Adam, it entered into the world. And the purpose of Christ coming into the world was to abolish sin, to wipe it right out, to destroy it completely, so that God's universe and his earth will be reconciled back to him and his original purposes for which he made it. We were looking at this morning about Christ. In the announcement of his conception in Luke chapter 1, he would set up a kingdom, rule over the house of Jacob, set up a kingdom that there would be no end. That's the purpose. Now, we're going to look a little bit at the history of Satan and follow him through. And I want you to notice that word, cast out. Cast out. When I was a boy, we sort of delighted to see a snake. And when we saw one, we usually either took them out by the tail and snapped them right quick and broke their neck and back, or we crushed them like this. And though they weren't dead, we'd take them by the tail and we'd give them a sling and cast them away. Now, in principle, that's what the Lord did with Satan. He, using the same image of that of a snake, he took him by the tail. That tail that we're told in Revelation chapter 12 drew one-third of the angelic world into his sin. And he's taken him by the tail and he's cast him out. He isn't all through with him yet. But we're going to look a little bit at that. So though hidden in this verse, that same seed of the woman is our Redeemer and our Savior that we were singing about. But he's also more than that. And we mustn't think of salvation as man directed toward man alone. It's for the purpose of destroying the origin or the father of all sin, which is Satan himself. Now, let's look with me then in Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to see the origin of Satan. In Ezekiel chapter 28, and again, God always uses the types of people who are like Satan to teach us about Satan. So he uses the king of Tyre here, or King Tyrus, in this particular chapter, as a type of Satan. And then in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 13, it speaks about, thou hast been in the Eden of God, Now, the Eden of God here isn't the Garden of Eden as we know it in Genesis. To describe this Eden here with all these precious stones isn't what we read about in Genesis chapter 2. The Eden of God here is in heaven. And it's there that Satan was created. And in verse 14 it says that in verse 12 he speaks of him in the latter part of verse 12 as that which sealed up the sum. He was full of wisdom and he was perfect in beauty. The most beautiful creature, wisest creature God ever created was Lucifer, Satan himself. Here he is in his original creation. And he was an anointed cherub in verse 14 that covered the throne of God, sort of a guardian angel. And we read in verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee up so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee." God saw something in this creature that he calls iniquity. There was no iniquity in God's creation, I don't believe at this point. This is the origin of it. "By the multitude of thy merchants, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore," notice this, "I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now, he hasn't finished that. He did cast him out of heaven here. But he hasn't destroyed him yet completely. That will come in the future. Verse 17 gives us a little picture of his sin. It was something God saw in his heart. "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Isn't that true of every one of us? Not of me too much. I'm not that beautiful, but pride always has to do with ourselves. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy prophet. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, to the sight of all them that behold thee," and so on. So, he was cast down here. He was cast out, as it were. Now, if you look back in chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, he uses there the king of Babylon, and he goes on to describe Lucifer there, in chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah. And we read about that in verse number 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Now this is not only a prophecy of the future, but it's a history of his past. That's what happened in Ezekiel 28. God cast him out of heaven. "Because he had said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven 5 times. I will exalt my throne." He had a throne above the stars of God. "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." Now, he didn't want to be God, but he wanted to be like God. And he wanted to be on the throne of God. That's the ambition of Satan. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, I believe this has a reference to the past in verse 12. how art thou fallen from heaven? But it's a prophecy as well as the future. So the first thing we learn about Satan is that he was cast out of the Eden of God in heaven, where he was created. And when he was cast out, there were angels that were cast out with him. And he obviously was cast out in the air, and he became the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2. He became the ruler over wicked spirits in heavenly places, in the atmosphere over us. And there he became the prince of the power of the air. Now maybe since he was cast out of heaven down to the air, maybe since that, and possibly be just prior before that, the earth was created. And when the earth was created, when God created the earth in Genesis chapter 1, Satan was then the prince of the power of the air. The angels had fallen. He came in the disguise of a serpent. The serpent at that time, evidently, according to Genesis 3:1, wasn't that snake that crawls around on the ground. It was one of the wisest and most beautifulest of the beasts of the fields that God had made. And he got into that thing, and he came into the garden, and of course, and he deceived Eve, and Adam sinned. And he became then not just the prince of the power of the air, he became then the prince of this world and the God of this world. And he's called both that, the prince of this world in John chapter 12 and verse 31, and he's called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. So, he was cast out of heaven, down somewhere in the atmosphere, some of the heaven anywhere. He had a throne down there somewhere, and he was cast out of heaven, and then when Adam was created, and the earth was created, he came down and tempted them, and they sinned, and he became still the prince of the power of the air, but he was governing it from the air, and he was become the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world, and he has been that until Christ, the seed of the woman, came. So he's cast out of heaven, and if you look with me in John chapter number 12, and I must hurry because my time is going. At John chapter 12, you can read when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, in John chapter 12, and verse number 31, he said two things. Now, when Satan came down in the Garden of Eden, he corrupted the entire human race. He corrupted God's creation. So this world system is evil. Not only the people in it, the whole system, politically, religiously, and morally, and socially, is evil, is corrupted by Satan, because he's the God and father of it. And God never made the world like it is. It became that way. So, the Lord, he's cast out of heaven, and he captured the dominion over Adam, and he's controlling this world. Now look in chapter 12, and verse number 31, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. That's the world system as we know it. The present world system that we in, socially, religiously, morally, politically, is corrupt, every bit of it. The Lord Jesus come not to save the world like modern evangelism is trying to do, trying to save people out of the world because he's going to destroy this wicked world and set up a new order of things. So Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So at the cross he was cast out. What happened at the cross? The Lord Jesus put his heel on the head of the serpent, and he ground it around, and he took him, if I could use the term, and by the tail, and he gave him a sling. But he's not dead yet. He's not dead yet. We were looking this morning at a case in Luke chapter 11, how a strong man, Satan, kept his palace, this world, well, and his goods well, but when a stronger than he comes upon him, he overcomes him and he steals, takes some of his goods away from him. That's a picture of Satan, the strong man. But the stronger than he overcame him. And that's the idea of casting out. The Lord overcame Satan. God overcame Satan in heaven above when he sinned. He overcame him and he cast him out. The Lord Jesus overcame him at the cross. And what did he do? He cast him out. He rendered him ineffectual to all those that will come, as it were, to Christ, so that we too can be overcomers. So he's cast out at the cross. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to skip a lot here, but look with me in Revelation chapter number 12, and you're going to find he's cast out again. He's still the prince of the power of the air. We still battle against wicked spirits in high places. He's still doing his work in the world, but he shouldn't be doing it in the Christian, because we are overcomers. He's a defeated foe. But in chapter 12, he's in the air with all of his angelic beings. Chapter 12 of Revelation, where we see in verse 9 that the great dragon was cast out, that of the air. There was a battle in verse 7 between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. This is future. And the devil was cast out of the air in verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, had it all under his control as the God and prince of the world. He was cast out into the earth, right down to the earth. And if you could read on, he comes down having great rage, really mad, and he persecutes the Jewish people like they were never persecuted before. Cast out of the air. Now look with me quick in Revelation chapter 20. And you're going to see that he's down in the air. It's pretty hard to say who the Antichrist is. There's some evidence there that it's an incarnation of Satan himself. He's called the son of perdition. He's said to come up out of the pit, as it were. But he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out at the cross, cast down like salt is cast down, rendered ineffective. And here he's cast out of the air, down to the earth, and that really is the cause of much of the trouble that follows Revelation 12. But in chapter 20, in verse number 2, an angel came down, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him a thousand years and cast him into a bottomless pit. He goes from the heights of heaven and where God's throne is, the Eden of God. He's cast out of heaven, down in the air, and he rules over, he conquers Adam and causes the world to be plunged into sin. And he's ruling over that world even today, apart from the cross work of Christ, who came and cast him out and overcame him. But in the future, he's going to be cast out of heaven right down to the earth. And that's going to be a terrible, terrible time of trouble. But then at the end of that period of time, another angel comes down from heaven, and some believe that's the Lord himself, in verse 20, comes down from heaven and with a great chain, as it were, just figurative language, and casts him into a bottomless pit, the abyss. And there he is for 1,000 years. But then look in chapter 20, verse number 10, and you're going to see his final casting out. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And that's where he'll be forever and forever. Once in heaven, the sum and beauty of all God's creation, because he was lifted up in his heart to want to be like the Most High God, God cast him down into the air somewhere. And there in the air, as soon as God created the man, he come down to that man in the form of a serpent and got control, if I could use that word, over the world. And he corrupted God's creation And he corrupted the man himself, and he come down, and he got into man and corrupted him. The Lord Jesus, the seed of the woman, came into the world, put his heel on the head of that serpent, and rendered him ineffective to all those who come to Christ and were overcomers. We can all be overcomers because Satan has been rendered ineffective at the cross, not destroyed yet. He come to destroy the devil, but that will only take place when he's cast into the lake of fire. Then in Revelation chapter 12, in the future, in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to be cast right down to the earth with great rage, and he knows that his time is short. Then at the end of a short period of time, he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, released for just a little season, and cast into the lake of fire, and that will be his ultimate destruction, his final destruction. A little bit, then, about the woman, the seed of the woman, crushing, destroying the serpent, that old serpent, the devil. I'll get this fixed for you, Philip, so I want to keep going.